For Chelsea fans everywhere, this is the ultimate football app for you. Never miss a match with live commentary, goal alerts, lineups, in-game stats, and TV and radio links for over 100 leagues globally. Download the free CFC Blues app now from the App Store and Google Play.
Drogba! They've pulled the rabbit out of the hat again.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to At the Bridge Pod, episode 50. We have reached half a century of At the Bridge podcasts. So if you were with us from the start or have joined a bit later on, we would just like to say thank you for being with us and listening to us talk all things Chelsea. Today, we're going to be looking back 50 years ago, because it's our 50th episode, of course, to the FA Cup final from 1970 when Chelsea lifted their first FA Cup trophy against Leeds United at Old Trafford in the replay. So let's get this episode on the road. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of At the Bridge Pod. I am your host, Mikey, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Chris.
Hello.
Today, we celebrate a half century of episodes. We started with a special on Eden Hazard and his Chelsea legacy all the way back in June of last year. Since then, we have treated you. I say treated. You may have hated everyone since, but if you're still listening after that, then that's different. But we treated you to episodes looking back at the careers of John Obi Mikel, Jose Mourinho, Damien Duff, and more, of course. We've interviewed some incredible people from all over the world, talked some classic matches. But, you know, we'd just like to thank everyone who's been a part of our podcast so far and continue to listen on a weekly basis. Is there anything you'd like to add on to that, Chris?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with everything you said. I love doing the podcast. When we first started this, I didn't really expect us to get to 50 episodes, if I'm honest, but I've loved every minute of it. It's good to be a host with you. Love that we've got listeners that actually like the show. If you don't like the show, then that's fair enough. I understand, because I wouldn't want to listen to myself, to be honest, but hey-ho. But yeah, it's been a really good, enjoyable thing to do. And yeah, hopefully we can keep it going for a very long time.
Yeah, hopefully so. So today, since it's our 50th episode, and this year is, of course, the 50th anniversary of our first ever FA Cup victory, we felt it was a perfect time to look back at that FA Cup replay, final replay from 50 years ago. So the year that was 1970. Now, for a couple of reasons, I can't play some cool music right now, you know, to show the year off. But, you know, just imagine it. Soundtrack of the Beatles, because it was their final album, Let It Be, was released in this year. Brazil beat Italy in the classic 1970 World Cup final. And the year gave birth to Alan Shearer and Cafu, so two legends of the game. Cafu. Yeah, Cafu. I tried to find some more players out, but I could only find those two at the short time I was doing it. So
two decent players, though. I mean, that's
very different
two very,
players.
Very good players, yeah.
One has won a World Cup, one has not.
No, one has won a Premier League, one has not.
So. Yeah, but I'd rather have the career that Cafu had.
Yeah, I mean, so would I, but still.
Champions League, World Cup, Club World Cup. He's won two World Cups, actually, because he'd been in the team in 94. So two World Cup win, yeah.
But Alan Shearer played for Blackburn, so.
Oh, well, there you go. And Southampton, so what can you say there? That's a career in itself.
Exactly.
So this cup final, It was during an era where if the final after extra time ended in a tie, it would be decided upon a replay. So that's another trip out to a neutral venue to enjoy your team in the oldest cup competition in the world. First leg was at Wembley Stadium. Obviously, after 90 minutes and 120 minutes, ended 2-2. So, yeah, we went to the replay. The 1970 Cup final is regarded as one of the greatest FA Cup finals in history, as well as being named apparently the most brutal game in the history of English football. Now, you know, I'm sure when we talked about the Battle of the Bridge, that was certainly something. And the was it Sheffield United and West Brom where the game got abandoned? That was probably quite a brutal game.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah,
that was quite brutal. So yeah, this produced a lot of the animosity and the hate between Chelsea and Leeds, really. And it was obviously, as I said, the first cup final, finished a 2-2 draw. Goals for Chelsea. Some of our old listeners will remember the likes of Peter Houseman, Ian Hutchinson. Leeds, their goal scorers that day were Mick Jones and Jack Charlton. Yes, Bobby Charlton's brother. But 100,000 fans saw that first leg, I suppose. What I found interesting, though, was in that first leg, we could call it, Leeds played in the white strip with red socks, but then in the replay, they wore all white and white socks. I don't know why. I don't. We wore a slightly different kit as well. We had gold socks in the next, in the replay. I don't know. I tried to find up information on why this is the case. I couldn't find anything on it. So, yeah, strange. Yeah. Someone knows, give us a tweet, because I literally don't understand this and it's really curious.
Yeah, I mean, that might be a question for my dad who watched that game back then. So maybe he'll know. I doubt it, but maybe.
It's so strange. Yeah, it's a weird one. Yeah. So that final at Wembley, it was scheduled for the 11th of April. That's around a month earlier than what's typical for FA Cup finals, obviously. It's usually in a May competition. But this was due to the FA because they want, you know, England were world champions at this point and they were defending the World Cup in Mexico. So they wanted time for the England team to get acquainted to the Mexican climate, the heat, etc. And apparently the Wembley pitch was in very poor condition due to the Horse of the Year show taking place there a week previously. Wow. So, yeah, we have complaints over here when the NFL are in town and they've destroyed Wembley. But, yeah, Horse of the Year show, there you go. That was a thing hosted at Wembley.
It's mad, though, because back then, like, you look at the pitches now and they're always in such pristine condition. No bubbles, just a perfectly flat surface. It's almost like a carpet, like this day and age. But then you look back at some of the old games and you think, wow, how could they play football on that? So for them to not play at Wembley, again, it must have been in some state. It really must have been in such a poor state for them not to play another game at Wembley.
Well, yeah, most likely. I mean, it's just so surreal reading that. It's like, oh, back in the yesteryear.
See, so, I saw that the pitch was unplayable, but I didn't realise it was because of the Horse of the Year show.
Yeah, we've had some unplayable pitches. I mean, there was a time when Stamford Bridge looked like the beach.
Yeah. Oh, is that when we played Charlton?
Yeah, those are great photos. Great photos.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. So, yeah, Chelsea and Leeds headed to Old Trafford. So, before we look into the game, what do you think yourself when you see the lineup for that FA Cup winning side for us?
I mean, yeah, it's just sort of littered with legends of the game and legends of Chelsea. I mean, you look at, you got Ron Harris, Peter Osgood, Peter Burnett, who you talked about last time.
Of course.
It's just loaded with, even on Leeds as well. I mean, Norman Hunter, unfortunately, passed away recently, which is such a shame, really. But he was a tremendous player, tremendous defender. So you could literally, there's icon after icon in both teams. And it just shows how good the teams were back then, really.
Yeah, totally agree. You know, like you said, Benetti, you know, captain Ron Harris, Osgood, Hutchinson. And Leeds itself, yeah, you know, the legends. Obviously, we don't know Billy Bremner. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know all about these players. I don't. I've done my
Jack Charlton.
Yeah, of course.
Another legend, of course. Brother of Bobby, massive legend. So
yep. I mean, looking at the dugouts, I mean, we'll slightly touch on that as well. But you had the likes of Sexton and Don Revy. I mean, that's I think people, you know, I'll go into about Don Revy later, but yeah. Incredible lineups, and it was just a really enjoyable game to actually watch this week. I watched it, gave it a good viewing, and yeah, you could just tell. I mean, the replay obviously was Old Trafford, was watched by a record TV audience of 28 million. Now, this game was not friendly. You know, it's gone down, as I said, as one of the most notorious clashes in English football, just for the harshness of the play. And the referee in charge of both games was a lad from Stourbridge, pretty local to where we ourselves are based, actually. And that lad, I say he was a lad, he was 47 years old, but anyway, yeah. Eric Jennings from Stourbridge, it was his final season as a Football League referee. And oh boy, I mean, he allowed some rough play by both sides. I mean, he certainly gave advantage. You know, we spoke about obviously the Battle of the Bridge ending in 13 yellow cards being handed out. This game was just as fierce, and one yellow card was issued. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen some of the tackles, and it's just remarkable. That's the only way I can describe it, how no one got sent off and there weren't a serious injury. I mean, they literally just kicked the absolute, pardon my French here, shit out of each other.
Yeah.
It was just kick after kick after kick after kick after punch, and it was just nonstop for 90 minutes, and it was just, I mean, it's great to watch. It really is great to watch. You are kind of glad that the game has evolved and it's not quite like that these days, but it is still entertaining to go back and see that physicality between two teams that quite clearly just hated each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how football has changed in 50 years, mainly what is considered a foul. Yeah. Mm. I mean, this particular game, a referee in of the modern day in 97, David Ellery, he reviewed this match and he concluded that both sides would have received 6 red cards and 20 yellow cards between them if it was refereed in like in 97. So there you go. 6 reds, 20 yellows. That's amazing. That'd have been interesting.
I mean, again, like last time I talked about, when he was talking about the bridge, I talked about how VAR probably would have sent 3 people off. If VAR was a thing back in 1970, I dread to think how many people would have been left on that pitch. There wouldn't have been many at all.
No, definitely not. I mean, you know, the hatred between the two sides, Leeds and Chelsea, it kind of started back in 1967. There was an FA Cup semi-final replay, because replays, that always happened. You know, Leeds lost to Chelsea, and that Leeds side at the time felt that they had a perfectly good free kick scored by Peter Lorimer ruled out, and that denied them a place in that cup final. So it kind of built up over there. And in the 69-70 season, where we obviously the season run about, we played each other 6 times. Leeds won both the league games and they beat us 5-2 at Stamford Bridge, which must have been painful to see. But, you know, the Blues came out on top over 2 games in a League Cup third round tie. So cup competitions, standard for kind of almost the early years of Chelsea. We were really good in cup competitions and we showed it in that season as well. So, yeah, I mean, we spoke about Peter Bonetti in what was last week's episode, and his heroics in goal in the first game at Wembley was one of the main reasons for this replay. But even that incredible performance was somewhat overshadowed by the fortitude, big word for me, I know, he showed at Old Trafford in this replay, because let's go, 31st minute, he suffers a painful knee injury in a contested aerial duel. So it's Leeds forward Mick Jones, and he goes up. It's a challenge that required lengthy treatment. And the commentator at the time for the BBC, Kenneth Jones, said that it almost deserved an X certificate. Did I say sorry? Not Jones, Wolstenholme. Sorry. But I'm doing well here. But anyway, Bonetti emerges after half time. He's heavily strapped up. He's unable to take goal kicks. So throughout the second half, you're seeing a defender take these goal kicks. We spoke about him last week, but how good was he in these two like legs, so to speak, and just the grit and determination to soldier on and still perform?
Yeah, I mean, it shows a tremendous amount of courage to just keep going after not a serious injury, but after being injured in a cup final. His adrenaline must have been pumping after he got injured. And, you know, back in the day, you know, all you want to do is be in an FA Cup final. You want to win. You know, this day and age, I think people take it for granted, you know, an FA Cup final, it's not that important anymore, you know, this and that. But back then, it was such a big occasion, such a big fixture that, you know, if you got injured, you just tried to play through the pain. And that's what Peter Bonetti did. And in both games, the game at Wembley, tremendous, kept us in it. And in against Leeds at Old Trafford, he was just, again, tremendous, showed a great amount of courage. And like we said last week, you know, he's such an icon of the game and an icon when it comes to goalkeeping. And he showed that against Leeds. So, you know, massive, massive respect to him.
Yeah, 100% agreed. That is the thing. It was, I know it gets not taken as seriously by teams in a way. We all talk about the death of the cup and how to revive it. But the FA Cup was the biggest game in English football at that time. Yeah. And remember, you only got one substitute back then. So if you cut your goalkeeper comes off, that's it. You know, yikes. I mean, sadly for Chelsea, Mick Jones leads. He takes advantage after his lovely aerial duel. But in that second half, he comes on and almost immediately after the injury, he's given Leeds a lead. But of course, Bonetti, he has that last laugh, as we all know. He lives up to his reputation as the cat by launching off his one good leg. And he makes a string of important saves throughout the whole of that second half. I mean, that again, like you said, soldier on, incredible. As the game carried on, the confrontations, obviously, they got more fierce. You had the likes of Peter Osgood. He was fouled by Jack Charlton. he immediately leaps to his feet. He barges Osgood to the turf. Well, he pretty much headbutts him, to be fair, if I'm honest. But yeah, then you've got Tommy Baldwin and Terry Cooper, both seen as two quieter men in the two sides. It's maybe you could like the likes of Wan Mata nowadays. You could compare them, I suppose, like that kind of nice temperament. But anyway, these two, they're kicking lumps out of each other. And then obviously you add Chelsea's Ron Harris, Chopper Harris. He catches Eddie Gray with a kick to the back of the knee, an action that it kind of neutralises this Scottish winger for the rest of the game. He's not in a good way. And Norman Hunter, who obviously recently passed away, unfortunately, and Ian Hutchinson, they were trading punches. You had Eddie McGreedy. Well, in his own penalty area, he makes a flying kick to Bremner's head. And then Johnny Giles lunges in at Chelsea opponent. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, would you say this was more fierce than Battle of the Bridge, and it's just been forgotten how intense and fierce it was?
I definitely think it was more physical and more fierce than the Battle of the Bridge. I mean,
you got away with more.
You know, the Battle of the Bridge is definitely the modern day version of that, I'd say.
Yeah.
But to compare the two, I mean, there really is no comparison. It's like back then, it's almost like a cage fight. Today, it's almost like handbags, really. It's, you know, it's no comparison, to be fair. You know, it's just, back then, you look at them, there's kicks flying, there's headbutts, there's elbows. And yeah, the Battle of the Bridge, it was very fierce and very physical, and there was little stamps and little sort of eye gouges, but it's nothing that you've seen it before, basically. You've seen tackles flying in, you've seen sort of little scratches and that, and little slaps, but you've not quite seen, well, people our age haven't quite seen what happened in that FA Cup final. You just don't see elbows flying in like that, kicks flying in like that, tackles going in like that, and the ref to not do anything at the end of the day.
Yeah, you got away with a lot.
You just don't see that anymore. And it, like I said earlier, you're glad football isn't like that anymore, and you're glad that the ref does sort of help the players out and make sure they don't get kicked. But at the same time, you kind of look back and think, that's really entertaining.
Yeah, it'd been interesting to see how the likes of Neymar would have dealt with.
I don't think Neymar would have played football for very long if he was in the 1970s. But
yeah, for sure. I mean, Chelsea equalised 12 minutes before the end of the game after a lovely flow move. And Peter Osgood, he scores with a diving header. It's from a lovely Charlie Cook cross. And to be fair, it's even put in the match report, Jack Charlton should have been marking Osgood at that time. But obviously, he loses his marker, his man. And he lost Osgood because he was chasing down Ian Hutchinson to exact retribution for a dead leg administered in the Chelsea penalty area like a minute or so earlier. I mean, it's incredible. The focus, it was, I'm going to just get, I want this guy. I want to get back at him. Yeah, I don't care about marking. I want to get. And then, like I said, it's 1-1. So, yeah, it's crazy. With that goal, it means at the time, well, still is, Peter Osgood became the last player to date to have scored in every round of the FA Cup. So the game ends 1-1, which means the final once again went into extra time. 1 minute before the first period of extra time was to end, Chelsea's Ian Hutchinson, he sends in a long throw. It misses almost every player in that penalty area, but it comes off Jack Charlton's head towards the far post. And before being put into the unguarded net by David Webb to give... You know, it literally is, it's just funny how it seems to be revolving around Jack Charlton this game, both goals. But yeah, David Webb, the defender, he pops it in. We get the first time in the two games that we've led. And that is history. I mean, simple as that. We keep the lead until the end. We secure our first FA Cup win. I mean, what, apart from the gorgeous kit that we obviously have 50 years later, we've done a reboot tribute to it. What were your personal highlights from the game in general, really?
I mean, like I said back then, the FA Cup was such an important attraction almost. I mean, even back when I was growing up, the FA Cup was so, so important. All you wanted to do was win the FA Cup. So back then, it was, like you said, probably the biggest game in English football at the time. So for us to finally win it, great achievement, terrific game. It will only be remembered for the physicality of it. I mean, unfortunately. Yeah, I mean, look at some of the great players that were on show. Peter Osgood, tremendous, tremendous player. Got so many goals for us. Ron Chopper Harris, literally just the most physical player you would ever likely to see. And obviously got Peter Bonetti as well. There's so many players. And it's just, like I said last week, it's so good to go back and look at some of these games with a different view, different sort of mindset. And it's just, yeah, tremendous, really tremendous game. So entertaining. I watched it last week, at the start of this week, sorry. And it was, yeah, it was a brilliant, brilliant hour that I watched it.
Yeah, yeah, totally agree. I mean, like I said, just looking at that era, it's kind of, it's really, obviously, we didn't experience these games, unfortunately. So that's why our knowledge is not as, you know, in depth as modern day. And we thought, you know, we'd go and look at some really far back in the history of Chelsea just to, you know, just to sort of dip the toe in the water, so to speak. So you listeners, you get a little taste of what it was, what the 70s, the 80s and the 90s of Chelsea were, you know, especially because we've got so many American listeners that may not know about these sort of games from the past. But yeah, it's just such a different era, and it shows how football has also evolved over the decades. And it really is incredible. I mean, this game for me is probably, I'd say it's our second greatest cup final behind only 2012 Munich, really, in my opinion.
Yeah, you could definitely put it up there. I mean, I don't think there's many other, you could say obviously our Premier League wins were more important, but our, as far as cup finals go, you definitely put it in top three, definitely.
Yeah. So there are so many iconic names, and we touched on these earlier, from both sides in this cup final. One particular is Leeds manager Don Revie, who, honestly, he had an incredible career in the world of football. Incredible in likes of ups and downs, and just such an interesting character to read about. You know, I strongly encourage anyone listening to simply just do some research on this manager. And I watched a fantastic video on him and his Leeds side on YouTube the other week, produced by TIFO, which is T-I-F-O. It's a truly good 20-minute watch. I know that sounds a long YouTube video, but, you know, if you're doing a bit of a workout whilst you're in lockdown, or you've got, you know, just see it as a small documentary episode. TIFO do some incredible videos, and they don't sponsor us. It's just, I just really like their videos, and this was an incredible video. I mean, I don't know if you have done, you've seen much about Don Revie yourself, Chris, or what your thoughts on him as a character, but he is a legend of this game as well.
Yeah, obviously, I didn't grow up watching Don Revie or any Don Revie sides, but I've seen clips of him, I've seen sort of interviews, and he does seem an amazing character. But, you know, him and Brian Clough, you'd love to see sort of in this day and age, and how they'd react to some of the things that are going on in the world. But, you know, he was a legend of the game, and he changed the way football was played at Leeds, you know, in other clubs and around the world. So you can't underestimate the influence that he's had on football.
No, 100%. I mean, his Leeds side were known as Dirty Leeds. I mean, it's fun fact. Yeah, George Best himself said that he hated playing against Leeds, Don Revie's Leeds, because it's the only time he felt he needed to wear shin pads was when he was playing against Leeds. I mean, there you go. And like you said, one of the critics of Revie was Brian Clough. So, yeah. You know, them two, another fantastic manager. I mean, absolutely iconic. But yeah, and then obviously you had like financial misconduct stuff. It's very interesting. It's very interesting because he does manage England for a bit, Don Revie does. Only slightly. Yes.
I know, yeah.
But it's very interesting. We won't go into depth in that because obviously Leeds United, it's not Chelsea. But it's really interesting to look into that guy. It really, really is. So, yeah, I mean, we're coming to the close of the 50th episode. Before I drop the line, I mean, anything you want to add, be it the game, 50 episodes or whatever, go straight ahead.
Well, you know, just thank you to everyone that listens. And obviously me and Mike are still working on how to make a better show for everyone, and we're really enjoying it. We enjoy the feedback that you give us, and we just want to make everyone happy in some tough times. We love Chelsea. We love everything about them. We bleed blue, as cliche as that is, but it's true. And yeah, we're just happy to keep going. We love you all.
Yeah, 100% agree with that totally. I mean, we've only seen them to go down the pub once to see a lovely Manchester United defeat when they beat us. That's, and then obviously quarantine and lockdown hit. So unfortunately, we haven't been able to do that much. So whether happens with this season going forward, we'll have to see. But, you know, coming up in future episodes, I feel that we're going to be looking at some targets that we've got linked with. I feel the next episode is probably going to be Hakim Ziyech related. So that's going to be an interesting one to do some research and compile on. So we're going to do our best with that. But yeah, I feel we've come to the end of another episode of At The Bridge Pod, a special 50th episode. So till next time, listeners, this is myself, Mikey, and Chris signing off.
We will return next week where we will talk all things Chelsea. So until then, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at @thebridgepod. Thanks for listening, everyone. Until next time.